This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
If there is a Sunday in the church year when a preacher might be inclined to just say, "Did you listen to Amos? Did you listen to the song? Any questions?" And then sit down. Preachers don't sit down, though. That's not what we do. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to sit here and listen to this impassioned passage out of the prophet Amos. It's hard to listen to the impassioned singing of that Psalm 52 and not be tempted to take both of those things and bundle them up and put them in your quiver and take them out into the world ready, armed to rebut, ready instead to get on social media and throw little quotes from Holy Scripture that you heard this morning and aim them at people that you might be rather frustrated with right now. It's hard not to do that. And some people do it a lot. At least that's my experience on social media. I don't know that it's ever helped. I don't think I've ever met the person who said, "You know, I thought this, and then I read this thing on social media, and now I think this." But it's tempting, isn't it? I mean, there is righteous indignation in the voice of Amos, and there's righteous indignation in the voice of the psalmist. And we want to grab that immediately and then aim it at someone else. I would just encourage us, at least for the next 6 or 7 minutes, not to do that. Because at first, it's a really poor use of Holy Scripture. And second, it makes us take Holy Scripture completely out of context. And it's not going to help that the lectionary for the next several weeks is going to do just this. It's going to give us a punch in the nose from a different prophet every Sunday for weeks now. And today it just happens to be Amos. But it's not going to help us know anything about who Amos was talking to or what he had on his mind or why he was so angry. And so we're left in the modern world to try to take words that were written with the psalm and the prophet 2,800 years ago and try to apply them into our life. And what we're most tempted to do is apply them to modern nation states, which is not what Amos was doing. He was speaking to a nation. But we must remember, Amos and all the prophets were speaking to a very small nation. It was really a big tribe. They all spoke the same language. They all believed in the same God. They all had the same values. And they fought like families fight among one another. But he is speaking to the Hebrew people as a group. He is not speaking to the Babylonian Empire. He's speaking to people that he thinks ought to know better, right? So Amos, real quick, in the first 5 chapters, he aims at the different groups in the tribe. And he gets very specific about what he's annoyed with and how he thinks they have failed God. And then he turns his attention and he gives that to the king. And the king hears it and doesn't like it. So he gets fired as the prophet because he's not saying what the king wants. Because things are actually quite prosperous for the Hebrew people at this point in history. They're doing well, at least some of them. And they don't want to hear this. But Amos brings a chorus that is the same chorus as every prophet in the Old Testament. And that's why I guess the lectionary can just give us a punch in the nose over and over, because they really only talk about 2 things. They just talk about it very specifically. The first thing they talk about is fidelity to God. This ironclad demand from the Lord that his people be faithful to him and that they not wander. And that they not fall prey to worshiping other pagan gods that they meet along the way. And the second thing the prophets care about is the poor. Some version of that. Caring about those people who are on the margin. All the Hebrew rules, the long, extensive law about how to treat the sojourner, the wayfarer, the poor, the hungry, the homeless, those who are left out. Those are the two things the prophets care about, and they are connected to one another. Fidelity to God looks like caring for the poor. That's how it manifests itself in the world. And every single prophet will have some version of this. So the passage that we get out of Amos today, here at the end of the book, he's already judged all the tribes, and now he's given it to the king. The king has fired him, but he has not stopped talking. I love that about prophets. They just keep talking, right? Whether they're on the clock or not. And today, it's a very concise summary right there. He's, woe to you who can't wait for the Sabbath to end. What's the purpose of the Sabbath? Fidelity to the Lord, right? You can't wait for that little rule to be over so that you can get back to your for-profit ways, mostly on the backs of the poor. They are right there together. Fidelity to God and caring for the poor. And so what he is judging is infidelity, this wandering away from God. Just, could this Sabbath thing be over? What's the purpose of the Sabbath, right? It's to get you to stop moving, to breathe, to give the earth a break for a second, and to acknowledge that you are in fact not God. But would this just be over? Say the people that are being judged by Amos. How long is this day? I need to get back to work. Get back to the business. Making a profit, primarily in that setting, on the backs of the poor. Said, trading the poor for a pair of sandals. That's pretty graphic. So then now what? What do we do with this? I know what we want to do with this. I know what I want to do with this. But what do we do with this? Because I think it is a very challenging thing to try to take a tribal God and a tribal religion and a tribal understanding of how what fidelity to God looks like and then apply it to modern nation states in any meaningful way. So I think the only thing left for us is for us to do the work of a tribe. Right? We're a tribe. St. David's, a tribe. And you're a member of the tribe. Right? So first is an invitation to each of us individually to ask, how are we doing on these two things? How are we doing on our fidelity to God? And how are we doing on our care for the poor? Individually. So how's that going for you? I hope you'll give some thought this afternoon about this. How's it going for you? How are you putting God in your life? How are you recognizing God in your life? How are you studying Scripture? Are you connected to the Lord in prayer? Are you reading the daily office? Any of the tools that we have that help us put God in the center of our life. There's a pretty good way to test it if you're not sure. I mean, I don't think any of you have a pagan altar set up in your living room, you know, but there was an old stewardship plan that asks you just to simply go home and look at your spending for the last 6 months, and it'll tell you how you're doing. What are you spending your money on? What are you spending? Look at your calendar. What have you been spending your time for in the last 6 months? It'll tell you. And what they discovered back when this stewardship plan was on the ground was that we spend most of our money on safety and housing and security, right? Just keeping ourselves up and moving. And the other surprised me. You would think it was healthcare, wouldn't you? But it's not. It's entertainment. So that's kind of telling, isn't it? So maybe you do that same work in your own life. How's that going? Where's God fit in the way you spend your money and your time? And then it's an invitation for us as a tribe to think about How are we doing on these things? I mean, most of the work that we do is about putting God in the center. This whole building, everything that we're doing right here is about putting God in the center of our lives as a tribe. And I am personally chest-puffing proud of the number of outreach activities that we have going on here at St. David's. But it always bears really important work for us to think about this carefully. How are we doing? How tuned in are we to the needs of the most vulnerable people in our community, especially right now? How are we doing in our work with the homeless? How are we doing in our work with the immigrant and the refugee, with the LGBTQ community, and anyone else that feels like they're on the outside? Because finally, all that's the measure of the life of faith. Both for us as individuals and for us as a tribe. They are inextricably linked together. Fidelity to God and care for the poor is the heart of what we believe. It is true with the prophets, and it is true out of the mouth of Jesus. So how are we doing? So if you and I get ourselves in order there, and our tribe continues to keep ourselves in order there, well, who knows what kind of impact we can have on the city of Austin, the state of Texas, our nation, and the world. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.